This just came to me on Wednesday. I was thinking, I thought I had something figured out for this morning that I thought God wanted me to share, and then everything got twisted all around. And then Saturday morning I woke up and I still didn't have nothing for the children. And God was saying, like, that morning I was just praying. I was laying flat out praying to God, and He brought this up about the cup. And it's like, you know, there's many times we want to go through all the joy and peace without going through the cross, without surrendering our selfish will, without surrendering who we are and allowing Christ to be who He is. We want to do it our way, my way. And that's a burden on my heart, is that it seems so much in today's Christianity, all we want to hear about is joy, love, and peace. And that is what Jesus said. He came not to bring that. He came to bring a sword and to bring division, because He came to bring a Holy Spirit fire that would divide between all these things. And He wants us to be willing to lay down. But we don't. We rise up against all kinds of things. We rise up because we have a right. If you want, in your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles. Actually, I want to start in Hosea. Who needs revival? And you think about who needs revival. Who is it that needs revival? It's always the other person, is it not? Oh, here it is. Who needs revival? Who is it? Obviously not me, right? Because if everybody else would do what they're supposed to do, it'd be easy, right? God forbid. God forbid that we would even think. I got it. Hosea 10. Hosea 10, starting at verse 12, it says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love." And it says, "And break up your unplowed ground." Now, I want to stop right there. When it says about break up your unplowed ground, what does that look like to you? As you break up unplowed ground, that can be hard, hard, hard ground. And you imagine a plowshare going through that, tearing that up. It is painful. Very painful. And you know what? I've come to think that in today, Christians don't want to do that. They don't want to. They want to experience the upper room experience without going through the pain. So we cover it up, and we cover it up, and we try and find joy. And we try and find peace, and we will not find it. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Are we ready to seek the Lord? Are we here at Shiloh ready to seek the Lord? Am I ready to seek the Lord? I am. I am so excited. What has been going on and what we're doing, what is happening in the church, what people's responses and what's happening in their lives. And as I see the zeal and the fire of the Holy Spirit coming in, it will bring division. For it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you. That's what's going to happen. If we break up our unplowed ground, it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you. And what is righteousness except right living? What is it? What is the picture when you think about He will shower righteousness on you? What does it look like? What does it look like to you this morning? But here's the reason that wasn't happening. He says, "But you have planted wickedness. You have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception." Now, I want to turn to 2 Chronicles. There's five things in here I want to go through very quickly about revival and what we have for revival. Oh, because I forgot the last part of that verse 13 says, "Because you have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors." People are not willing to lay down self and allow Christ to take over. They won't do it. Digging up that unplowed ground is the hardest thing I believe we can ever do. 2 Chronicles 7:13 says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people." Verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now, I fully believe that in this nation, we need national revival. I believe that in our churches, we need church revival. I believe that we need personal revival. And I want to tell you, most people want to start on the national revival. It won't happen. You know, we need genuine, Holy Ghost, Spirit-fed revival. And you know what? We want to change everyone else. We want to fix everyone else instead of right here. Right here. Calling out, flat out before God. Are we willing to cry out and seek for God to come in and show us who He is? Show us His power. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to lay down our selfish ideas? Our foolishness? Listen, if my people... First of all, it starts with the Christians. Listen, if the Christians don't get revived, how is anybody else going to get revived? How is the lost going to get revived if the Christians aren't revived first? They can't even get revived if we don't get revived. Huh? The lost won't even get revived, if that's a word. We need to get revived. I mean, it starts with you and I. My people who are called by my name. Are you called by the name of the Lord this morning? Are you one of the chosen? Listen, that's who He's calling out. That's who He's talking to. He's not talking to the lost. He's not calling out for those that aren't saved. He's not calling out for those who don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. He's talking to His people who are called by His name. Psalm 85 says this, "Will you not revive us again, that your people, may rejoice in you?" He's talking again about His people. His people. He's talking about the Christians. "Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to His people, His saints, but let them not return to folly." He's talking to the Christians. Are we returning to folly? "Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that His glory may dwell in our land." I would like to say in our church. I know it says in our land there, but we can't go to the big picture right up front. We need to start it right here. Right here. In each one of our individual hearts. The next part of that there in 2 Chronicles is, if they will humble themselves. And we talked some about that this morning. Mikey had talking about humbling ourselves. Tommy, perfect illustration of humbling ourselves before God. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to come flat out before God, crying out for God, wanting to see Him in a new way? Or are we worrying about fixing someone else? 1 Peter says, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." What a beautiful picture. He does give grace to the humble. Listen. Listen, this church... And I'm going to go to the right to the church, and I'm stabbing at the heart. This church will not see revival if we have a judgmental, arrogant attitude about the church. It won't happen. A self-righteous, judgmental attitude will never bring revival to a church. It will not happen. It absolutely won't happen. It has to start right with the person that's being judgmental and self-righteous. That could be me. And I tend to be judgmental. And I do. And I want to confess that this morning. If I have hurt anyone by my judgmental spirit and attitude, I am sorry. I know I lash out sometimes like it is. And I don't want to do that. I don't do it to hurt someone. I don't want to do it to hurt anybody. But I believe what I believe. And I want the Spirit of God to speak that to you all. You know, in that humility, if we are willing to humble ourselves, God will bring healing. God will bring healing into the church. He really will. And it's happening. It is happening. The next one is, "And if my people will pray." if they will pray. Listen, we have gone through that whole thing on prayer. And there's a lot of good things happen. There's a lot of people's lives got changed through that. I've seen it. I've heard testimonies of it. I've heard responses from it. It is very exciting. But you know what? We are no different than the children of Israel. The minute things start going just a little bit good, boom, we're on to something else. And totally forget exactly where God has brought us. All of a sudden, we're griping about something else. And you know what? Let me go to that Romans here. It says, Romans 10:1 says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." Folks, he was talking to his chosen people. Today, that's the Christians. "For the Israelites, that they may be saved." Whoa. I thought if you're a Christian, you're saved, right? We're told often to not assume that everybody in a church is saved. And that grieves my heart. That really grieves my heart. I think it was that cigar-smoking evangelist, and I can't think what his name is right off the top of my head, said that so many times, that one of the biggest mistakes of a pastor is to assume that everybody in his congregation is saved. And that's a shame. Because we're not real. The next part of that there that he talks about in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he said, "If my people will seek my face." Now I want you to think about this for a minute. What does that look like to you this morning? What does it look like for you to seek God's face this morning? What does that look like? Think about it. What does that look like to you to seek God's face? God says, "Seek my face." If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. What does that look like to you this morning? See, in 1 Chronicles it said, "Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and the judgments He pronounced." Are we remembering what God has done? Or are we always looking for the faults of one another? And the things that have never happened. And I'm talking about that in a negative sense. Are we looking to see what God, how much life He can bring to the church? Are we looking for the destruction of the church this morning? What are you seeking when you seek God's face this morning? What are we seeking? What are we looking for? What are we seeking except revival? Folks, if you're not seeking revival, I can't say it. And the last part of that there is, "If my people will turn from their wicked ways." Listen, what is it? What is it that he was asking his people to turn from? What is it in your life that as you hear the words will turn from their wicked ways? What is it in your life that you know needs to go? What is it? As we're seeking revival and we're talking about bringing down spiritual walls, what is it that needs to leave? What is it that needs to go that cannot have no part in your life, but you want to have it both ways? What is it? What is it that you know for a fact in your heart beyond a shadow of a doubt has to go and you refuse to do nothing about it? I'm not going to point anything out. Y'all think about it. What is it in your life? What is it? It's not in somebody else's life. It's in your life. It starts with you. It don't start with anybody else around you. It starts right here with you. If you would turn from your wicked ways, what are they? Only you can answer that. You know in your heart what they are. You know in your heart what they are. And Acts 3:19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord." You know what? We all want refreshing without repenting. That is just human nature. We all want refreshing without repenting. We all want to do that without drinking the cup. We all want the easy things. We all want the good things without drinking the cup, without being crucified with Christ. We all do. It's not going to happen. Revival will not come until we dig up that fallow ground, until we dig in and find out what's really going on in your life. Then he says, if we do these things, he says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Only then will I do this. His promise is real. He asked for us to do something and we need to be obedient. And then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, that's what Shiloh really needs. That's what Shiloh really needs. Times of refreshing. And you know what? We're not going to get them until we become real. It's just not going to happen. It will not happen until we fall on our faces before God. You know, we can say all kinds of cute little cliches. We can have little prayer meetings. We can do all kinds of things. But folks, if we are not calling out on a holy God, falling on our faces, wanting to be pure and righteous before a holy God, we will not find revival. It won't happen. It will not happen until we become real. We need to be real. It's got to happen. We can sit with these faces that are, everything's just fine. But you know what? Deep down inside, every one of us knows that we need to come before God daily. Not just on Sundays. Daily, we need to come before God and lay these things down. What are they? Only you know. You know what they are. If my people called by my name will humble themselves, will pray, will seek my face, will turn from their wicked ways. You know what? I think one of the biggest things is we Christians need to turn away from Satan's view of what Christianity is. That we'll just be okay. We will just be okay. Just keep on going, right what you're doing. Don't stop and seek my face. Just go. Don't pray. Don't worry. I mean, just go. He says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. How serious are we about revival this week? How excited are you to experience a revived heart this week? Are you? What does that look like to you? Does it look like pulling a smile out of your pocket and coming into church, putting on that, quote, religious front saying I'm a good person? What does that look like to you? Well, if I go to church, I'll be all right. This morning I'm asking, what does that look like to you? To fall on your face before God and really seek His will for your life. Really call out on the Lord. I want to give us that opportunity this morning. There is so much I'm anticipating. First of all, in my own life, what God wants to do here at Shiloh this coming week, starting with revivals on Wednesday night. And I challenge you, what is it and what does it look like to fall on your face before an Almighty God? Do you realize that we're in the presence of an Almighty God? Do you understand that this morning as we are sharing, and you know, I know God lives in our hearts and we are His temple. But in this room this morning, I sense a presence of an Almighty God. And He is here. He is here this morning. And I am calling on you, people. What does it look like to fall on your face before God? What does it look like? And what would it do for your heart? What would it do for your life? Is there a difference this morning between heaven and hell? This morning, I just want to ask Mike if he would come lead a song. And I want to say again, the altar's open. As we want to seek revival, we need to start with our heart, our own selves. Are you willing? Are we willing? Are we willing then together as a church to seek revival, to fall on our faces before an Almighty God, to cry out to see what God has for us? Are we willing? Or are we too bashful of who our God is? Are we too ashamed of who He is? And what He might be asking us to do should not be like that. I'm challenging you if you would be willing to fall on your face before God this morning. That the altar's open as Mike leads the song. If he's even in here. Yes, he's here.
Jesus gave his life for me. Should I not give him mine? I got a great devotion. I shall be holy. My life, O Lord, I give to thee. My talents, time, and all. I'll serve thee. I care not where my Lord directs, his purpose I'll fulfill. I know he everyone protects who does his holy will. My life, O Lord, I give to thee, my talent, time, and all. I'll serve thee, Lord. Though he may come across the sea, with Jesus I will go, and tell the lost of love so free, till all his power may go. My life, O Lord, I give to thee, my talents, time, and all. I'll serve thee, Lord. Accepted as thine own, for thee alone I'll ever live. My heart shall be thy throne. My life, O Lord, I give to thee. My talents, time, and all, I'll serve thee.
Amen. Why don't we all rise for a prayer of closing? And I want to lead, now you lead a song then. And we all want to just sing out. God, we just come to you and I thank you so much for your Spirit, first of all, God. For your Spirit to just be among your people. And God, to be able to flow through us and to be able to lead us and direct us. And God, for whatever you convict us of, whatever it is. And God, I just pray right now that each one of us would be obedient to your call. God, so many times I know that your call is not always what we want. Just as the cup that Jesus had to drink was not what he wanted, but he said, "What? Not my will, but your will be done." God, may we be that faithful. May we be that obedient to what you have for each one of us. God, would you go with us and watch over us and just help us to be, yes, God, just ask for you to strengthen us to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just sing this together.
All right, let's sing Revive Us Again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Last verse.
Revive us again. Fill his heart with thy love, may his soul.